Welcome to Reality Check, conversations with experts about applications, solutions, and the things Wi-Fi can do beyond just connectivity. Your host is Matthew Edwards, a Wi-Fi product marketing manager with Arrowhead Networks.
Everyone, welcome back to the second part of this three-part podcast series on the future of retail. Once again, happy to be joined by Bill Hoppin of Arrowhead Networks. And today's episode is going to be focusing on the challenges of the future of retail. So in the first episode, we heard all about the exciting opportunities for new technologies like Wi-Fi, applications, insights, business intelligence, personalized engagement platforms. And now we really want to drive down into, okay, the retailers have said, this is exciting. We want to get our hands on this technology. What's the next step? What do people need to plan for? What should they be aware of? Both from the customer's point of view, from the business's point of view, and also the IT team that obviously has to support all this technology. So Bill, welcome back to the podcast. And I guess we'll jump straight into it. I mean, what would you say at high level from your experience is or are those high-level challenges that organizations, the retailers, are facing today amidst all this opportunity?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me here. It's great to be back here on the podcast. I'd say there's three primary I'll stop by just reviewing. I think we recognize that retailers are looking for a way, and this is one of the biggest challenges, to blend the in-store experience with the mobile experience, with the e-commerce and online experience. Mm-hmm. How can those experiences be complementary? You know, you hear terms like omni-channel thrown around. Really what it is about retailers delivering a common experience, an engaging, cool experience that's personalized, ideally, to build loyalty and build a relationship with their customers. So that's the big challenge. And there's different ways that are being employed to try and accomplish that result, one of which, obviously, we're very involved in here at Arrowhive, is using Wi-Fi to be a way beyond just connectivity. Mm-hmm. You know, Wi-Fi is in retail environments today primarily to deliver secure connectivity for mobile point of sale, maybe some guest amenity Wi-Fi, or secure Wi-Fi for the personnel to get information or training videos, that kind of thing. That's the primary reason Wi-Fi has been deployed. What's happening now is retailers are realizing there is an opportunity to leverage that Wi-Fi to solve this problem, blending the mobile online with the in-store experience and delivering cool new experiences. The challenges around leveraging Wi-Fi to deliver this holy grail there's three big ones. The first one is privacy, and I'll talk about that in detail. Closely related to that is finding the appropriate level of engagement that's right for specific retailers, customers, and even specific demographics or regions that customer serves. And then the third is cost. Being able to deploy Wi-Fi and manage it in the most cost-effective manner possible. Even when looked at just for the core needs of mobile point of sale, inventory management or guest Wi-Fi, retailers are always looking for ways to optimize cost. Wi-Fi, when viewed at just for connectivity, is really a cost that affects the bottom line. So they're looking to get the least cost possible to deploy that Wi-Fi. The other things that they're now realizing they can do with the Wi-Fi is increasing the top line. It's allowing them to optimize their business, build loyalty, build personal engagements with their customers. And those are the ones that are sort of facing the challenges of privacy and dialing in that right level of engagement that's right for their customers and the customers in the regions that they serve. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. Yeah, I guess, there was one, key one that you touched upon then, which would be the privacy side.
Yep.
And certainly myself as a consumer and yourself and obviously everybody in the world, we know now that we are carrying around these smart mobile phones, and increasingly people are becoming aware that even if they aren't actively connected to Wi-Fi, their devices are kind of advertising themselves all the time. So when you're talking about the, I guess, the analytics piece that we talked about in the first podcast, I noticed you mentioned that it was anonymized, but could you talk me through kind of the process of kind of the big data, the analytics, and how that process affects the consumer from a privacy point of view?
So privacy is a big one, and there's a perception, an appropriate perception that, if I give up my credit card information or information about about myself, there's a concern that's going to get into the wrong, either get into the wrong place or be used to barrage me with communication, spam, et cetera. And the first and the most important thing to address that is to really over communicate to the consumer when they opt into being communicated with or engaged with. They give over information of any sort, and to double the reward you give them in exchange for that. So if someone signs into the Wi-Fi, gives a name and email address, you are you give them a discount, you give them special services or information in exchange for that. And then you use that communication channel that's now opened up for you to engage with that customer in a very appropriate and moderate way, so that you build and incrementally develop a relationship with that consumer. And so this is even above and beyond the technology. This is sort of how you use the technology, how you deploy it, and the strategies in which you are driving that consumer to opt in. Here's a good example with guest Wi-Fi in these retail environments. A lot of retailers offer guest Wi-Fi and found that consumers on their own don't necessarily find guest Wi-Fi and log on to it. To get consumers to engage and connect to the Wi-Fi, you've got to tell them about it, either with signage, mm-hmm. or associates, or both, and give them something in return. Log into the Wi-Fi and learn this information about these products you're in front of, or get a coupon for a product you're interested in. And then when you're when they're presented with the opportunity to log into the Wi-Fi, there's an option to give some information in exchange for getting twice as much value back. That in and of itself, that philosophy or that concept is probably the most important one around privacy, because over communicating what information is being handed over and then delivering twice as much value back, that's the right strategy there. Now, there are some other insights and information that can be collected via Wi-Fi or other means that is anonymous, that needs to be done in a very careful and appropriate way so that the anonymous nature of it is protected and maintained. And a good example there is iOS 9's recent full randomization of what's called the MAC address, which is the unique identifier that your mobile device has when the device is just looking for what Wi-Fi is actually available in an environment. Prior to the randomization of the MAC address, the unique address of that mobile device was embedded in that what's called a probe signal request looking for what Wi-Fi might be available out there. So there was an ability to identify the device. And if you were able to then map that device identity to a user, you could actually understand individual user information prior to being connected to the Wi-Fi. And that kind of compromises a little bit of this notion of being very open and transparent and this opt-in notion of giving over your information prior to it being used to identify your location or what you're doing. We love this. We think what Apple's done is great, and we support it 100%. We've used some of the probe signal data to give retailers some insights that are valuable about statistically knowing how many people are in the store, how long they stay, that kind of thing. That's still there. It doesn't require any personal information. It's just a statistical set of data that's very valuable, but anonymous and honors privacy. And again, that's sort of prior to the consumer opting in or not having opted in at that moment. Keeping that private and keeping that anonymous and using that as statistical source of data to help optimize business is the right way to go. So those are kind of two examples of how privacy privacy concerns can be addressed. Another element of it that's a little more techie is when you have some personal information through an opt-in process, you've got to make sure you are you know exactly where that data is and what that data is being used for. And that's one of the great things about Aerohive's approach, just to mention briefly, is that we are very secure in how we handle everything to do with Wi-Fi. We have a cloud platform that can be hosted on-premises or in a public cloud. But if there's a concern about where data is and how it's being used, retailers can have that cloud cloud be inside their data center or very well contained within the borders of the country and that kind of thing. So we have we think about this all day long at Aerohive, and it's very closely tied to optimizing the engagement process so that it's delightful and appropriate, much like a personal, like a real engagement, a real relationship is. You know, you meet somebody for the first time, that's the start, and then you incrementally build and personalize mm-hmm. sort of your interaction with an individual relationship. And that's exactly what retailers are realizing they need to do and why they need a platform that can give them the flexibility to optimize and incrementally increase the personalization in which they engage their customers.
That sounds brilliant. I do like some of your analogies. It's certainly a more appealing option to have a delightful experience than the alternative, which was the creepy experience,
yes.
as you so put it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess from everything I've heard, it sounds like obviously from the retailer side of things, when they approach any of these kind of technologies, obviously they need to have the customer in mind. And I guess that applies to any of their marketing strategies that they have today. And you have to take that technology, use it appropriately, just as traditional email blasts to a customer, you send too many, and then suddenly it becomes inappropriate, it's spam, you break that relationship. So I guess ultimately the retailer needs to understand that they need to fine-tune that level to the customer to make sure they're engaging at the right level and it's beneficial to the customer, not solely to them. And then I think the other thing that we've taken away from that is at the customer level as well, they own some responsibility in how much information mm-hmm. they are willing to give away. And if they approach that, again, in the same level of appropriateness, then they can be rewarded for it. So I guess from either side, both in the consumer level and the retailer, if they approach it both in equally the appropriate way, they can have this, I guess, delightful relationship, and the digital strategy will take off.
Absolutely.
Bill, so I think we've addressed the challenges side of things pretty well there. Both from the consumer side and the retailers. I guess from the consumer side of things, at the end of the day, if they don't want to engage, they don't have to, they can turn their Wi-Fi off.
Right.
So everybody, as you said, always has that opt-in, opt-out. And I think the last thing that really made me smile is I was chatting to somebody about this very recently, a copy editor, a friend of mine, and she was looking at some of these capabilities. She was talking about the apps and the insights and the mobile devices, the Wi-Fi, etc. And having read a guide on some of this personalized engagement and the platforms that you were talking about, she actually turned around to me and said, wow, I didn't realize you could do all this with Wi-Fi and mobile devices in store. It actually feels like mm-hmm. everybody knows everything about me. You know what? I think I'm going to stick to online shopping. So I think if she thinks that Amazon doesn't know more about her than her husband, then it's an interesting place to be. So, Bill, again, I'd really like to thank you for today's session. It's been, again, once really insightful into, you know, some of those challenges and, more importantly, how to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look forward in the third session to hearing about some of the customers that you have personally work with, and again, you know, what they've seen as the opportunity and the potential, how they're delivering on that, and you know, some of the challenges that we spoke about today, how they're personally getting across them.
Great.
So I really look forward to that one. So Bill, thank you so much once again, and I look forward to chatting to you in the third session, and to all the listeners, thank you so much.
Great, thank you also.